super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Oh yes, everybody. Welcome to the show, where the man of the hour is living proof that they'll give anyone the ability to be an ordained minister. Ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend 42nd Street Pete.
Okay, you'll let the cat out of the bag on that. We're gonna address that situation later. First off, I want to apologize for the switch up last week on the shows. If nobody heard my apology before, we were doing a little pre-show shit here, but inadvertently, the wrong show was triggered off because we pre-recorded it, so you got old Ken followed by new Ken, I guess, if you had the repeat or whatever the hell it was. But again, I apologize. Todd went out in a town. We agreed to do this, and the computer fucked everything up. But that's just one thing. Another thing is, anybody in the New York area, this is a very rare appearance by director Frank Henenlotter of Basket Case, Frankenhooker, Brain Damage, and now Bad Biology. He will be down at the Rare Flix store at 210 Meadowlands Parkway in Secaucus, New Jersey, next Saturday, the 13th, day before Valentine's Day, the other fucking atrocious Hallmark holiday. But he will be there from 1 to 4 p.m. signing copies of his new release, Bad Biology, and also the star of the movie, Alan Steed, will be there, as well as Rachel Robbins and a couple other hot chicks that were in the movie. I had a list, but I fucking can't find it now because I've been smoking weed all night. But anyway, that's going to happen next Saturday, February 13th, 210 Meadowlands Parkway at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Frank Henenlotter, live in the flesh. And I haven't seen Frank, to be honest with you, since Liquidators shut down in 2003, so it's going to be a real treat. And Frank doesn't make too many appearances. He's a pretty busy guy, so definitely come on out and check him out. And I know Todd would love to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, Frank really doesn't do anything. Last time, Frank did one appearance at an early Chiller show, and that was in the Rothman Center in Teaneck. And he just doesn't do stuff like that. He's a pretty private guy, so it's going to be really cool to see him, you know, hanging out.
I got to tell you, though, Bad Biology, hello, that movie, I thought that movie kicked butt. I mean, really, in this day and age, to have a movie with that much crazy stuff going on that actually shocked me, and I'm pretty much unshockable, but that thing put a shock on me. And I tell you what, I enjoyed every minute of it because there's just a sense of humor that is unmistakably Frank Henenlotter.
Oh, yeah, and the best part is they premiered that at the Pioneer Theater when I was hanging out over there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Got to see it on the big screen. So, yeah, it's about as twisted a ride as you're going to take, and Frank is Frank. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, could have sold out and never did and stayed true to his grindhouse roots. So, yeah, definitely come down and check Frank out that Saturday afternoon. And I got a couple kudos I got to throw out, as well as a couple shout-outs. Shout-out to Corey in Philadelphia. I know you're down under like 18 inches of snow, or maybe more at this stage of the game. I was talking to Amrith early this afternoon, and she said she was expecting 12 to 18 inches, but I'm not sure whether she was talking about fucking snow or not, but yeah.
You're just wronged.
I know. But Corey's an old buddy of mine. He's always been in my corner. He's always each other's back. He's a real cool guy, and I wish him the best. He's hanging out there partying his ass off, because you can't fucking drive in this shit. I didn't get nothing up here. And also to Melissa and Dave out in Pittsburgh, they probably got whacked with this shit too. But, you know, everybody got bad snow. I didn't get nothing. I was all geared up. I had, you know, everything prepared.
I didn't know Melissa and Dave were in Pittsburgh. I thought they were in Ohio. Wow.
I think they're in Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh, wherever Pittsburgh butts against Ohio or vice versa.
That's really cool. I have to tell you, those two people are really amazing people, man. I'm really glad I got a chance to meet them and, you know, talk to them. And every time I meet them, it's better and better. And I think the world of them.
Yeah, and actually, you know, let the cat out of the bag, I will be performing the nuptials if they want me to, you know, whenever they get it clear or something, probably next October at Wasteland. You know, it'll be probably, I don't know if it'll be the first Wasteland wedding or not. Thing is, they didn't know you were an ordained minister. They wanted to do it the last show.
I would have done it in a minute.
Nobody knew, though. Nobody knew that you also were an ordained minister. So.
I am the man.
Yeah. It's also, I got to throw some kudos out to B-Boy, who won the Combat Zone Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion last Saturday night. I saw the picture of it. He was bleeding like a stuck pig, but I heard it was the hard way, not a blade job. And he won it from Drake Younger, and this was the second of... I was the one I gave match of the year a couple shows ago, the Drake Younger first B-Boy match, but B-Boy took the title, and congratulations on that. And the Jersey All-Pro show I was at 2 weeks ago, my good buddy Steve Monster Mac and his partner Havoc, the Heavy Hitters, took the JAP tag straps from... actually, it was a three-way. It was all over the building. It was insane. It was the Hate Club and the Hillbilly Wrecking Crew against the Heavy Hitters. And they took the belts. They wrecked everything, though. It was great. I never got to see the Hate Club up close and personal, but they were pretty fucking nuts, too. So, a good time was had by all. It was family entertainment.
There you go.
Yeah, pretty much. And I got to address some shit that I said last week on my blog, because it's been a really depressing fucking time for me.
Everyone, head over to the chat room if you're not in there already. You can go to jackaloperadio.com. And you can click on the chat area and go in there and hang out for a while, everybody. I mean, the funny thing is all the other shows have these huge chats. Pete's show never has huge chats because people are too busy doing other things with their hands while listening to Pete's show and not going in the chat room.
What could you possibly mean by that? But anyway, I had some really, bad shit went down in my life about a week ago, and just revelations and things I found out that, were going to happen that I didn't expect, and just a little betrayal and crap in general. And I threw up a blog that disturbed a lot of people, obviously, because I got a lot of replies to it, but I also found a lot of kindred spirits in it, because it's like a lot of us had the same shit happen to them growing up. And, I said this before, we've addressed other things on the show about child abuse and drug abuse and, bad parenting and shit, but unfortunately, I'm a product of it. I mean, I never told, you or anybody else in a lot of this shit, but I'm just going to fucking say, what the fuck, it's a public forum, and, it's my fucking show, so tough shit. But a lot of people, like I said, we sometimes, I say all the times, have no control over what shapes us, what makes us what we are. And in my case, shit started bad for me at an early age, because I was grabbed by a bunch of older kids, and I wasn't sodomized or any of that shit like that, but I was tortured with broken glass and beaten with a rope and all kinds of other crap. And the fucked up part of that whole situation is no charges were ever pressed, because this kid's mother was connected in the town, and my parents didn't want to make waves. Okay, so at the expense of them not making waves, a couple other kids got the same treatment. So, and I said this before, everybody's with the paranormal community a lot on this thing. I believe in a higher power. And my higher power does things for me. Segway 25 years down the road, I'm in this bar, and I hear a name called out. And I look down the bar, and like, shit, it's this motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I went out in the parking lot. He was one of the last ones to leave, and he did leave eventually, but only in an ambulance. So, yeah, the retribution. I usually don't do shit like that, but I figure in this case, after what he fucked me over and did to me and other people, it was warranted. So, you also have to understand something, too. My time era is the 50s when I was, born in 52. So, this was the typical Ozzie and Harriet Leave with the Beaver bullshit fucking deal, where they felt everybody should get... I'm serious. This is what they thought. People get married, spit out two or three kids, because these were all products of World War II. The baby boomers. So these were people who would just come back from the service or, whatever, and got married, and, we want to have a family. Not knowing the repercussions of how to have a fucking raise a family, much less raise a dog. So my father was an workaholic. And I don't think he really envisioned what was going to happen having a family in retrospect, because, I just pick up on things here and there. But the whole thing was, it was like, you fucking misbehave, later your father comes home, and, he already had a bad day, so he comes home to this and beats the shit out of you. So I got the shit beat out of me 6 days till Sunday. And that's the way he was raised, second generation, Italian-American shit. So, you got beat up more than anything else. And the other thing was... they threw me in Catholic school. Now, we all know what a wonderful experience that is from other experiences, not, with abuse and things like that, but basically, them people in there could do whatever the fuck they wanted to you and get away with it. Now, I was pretty much big for my age, and I had bright red hair, so I was a target for everybody. So, God's honest truth, if I went to retaliate after getting beat up or, you know, defend myself, I got grabbed by the fucking nuns and got, well, you know, Jesus doesn't want you to do that. Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus would turn the other cheek. Honestly, I think if Jesus knew what was coming down the pike for him, he would have definitely fucking retaliated really fucking quick. But that's the whole attitude. I wasn't allowed to do that. And because I was big, I was always pegged as the instigator. So they go back and tell my parents, I'm an instigator. And, of course, they get the shit beat out of me even more for being whatever. And the other thing is, the teachers back then had such fucking power that they could convince your parents of anything. And one thing was, I couldn't fucking see, all right? I was nearsighted. And they always put the tallest kids in the back of the room. So I kept telling, you know, I can't fucking see. My parents were told that he just wants glasses because other kids have them. So as a result, I never knew how to do fractions or percentages. I taught myself that later on. It was pretty fucked up. And like I said, they could do anything they fucking wanted. They could beat you. They could crack you over your hands with fucking rulers on your knuckles and shit. I remember this one kid, they actually tied him to his desk. And nobody could do shit. So you tell me this is an early fucking child abuse? And then, remember I said about the monster magazines and shit, them tearing them up in front of me and doing this and doing that? Well, they told my parents they considered me mentally unstable because I like this shit. So now I got this fucking tag on me. And, you know, believe me, I ain't fucking kidding. I'm being dead serious. This ain't a fucking joke. They bought everything they were fucking told because they didn't know any better, because the teacher's always right, the policeman is your friend, and all this other fucking horse shit that we've proven is all bullshit. But I had to suffer for it. So now, I'm a piss-poor fucking student anyway. Another hit of wine. So they're going to bounce me. I wound up in public school, the worst class, with fucking career fucking criminals, juvenile delinquents, all kinds of crazy fucking people. I'm like the lamb thrown into the lion's den, so I get more fucking shit. Plus, I'm an Italian guy who lives in the better section of town, whatever the fuck that meant, and we had vice principals that didn't like guineas, be honest with you. And I got pushed into a lot of shit, and they wound up taking me to a psychiatrist because it was on the bequest of the fucking school, who threw me in the fucking hospital and gave me a bunch of fucking shock treatments and fed me a whole bunch of psychosomatic drugs, and bang. But what happened was, all this shit was fueled by this whole religious thing that, like, you know, you can't buck authority. And this, you know, if you're listening, you're probably, you may be in shock, you maybe think I'm full of shit, but yeah, this was what I went through. This was fucking abuse. And there was no reconciliation for it because everybody always, we did what we thought was best. Well, you didn't do what you thought was best. You did what everybody else thought was best. And I see a lot of this shit still going on. Now, this whole fucking shit with the whole Catholic religious thing, I mean, this was just shove down your throat, suffer for Jesus, do this, do that. You know, your life is mapped out in this, you know, by God. He knows when you were born, when you're going to die, what's going to happen in between, whether you're going to heaven, earn your way to hell. And like, you know, you got, I mean, I got fucking 8 years of this shit. And then the other thing was, I don't get an altar boy because I would have killed my fucking one day out of there Saturday because you got to go to fucking church. And what a bunch of hypocritical fucking bullshit. And I'm just talking about the Catholic Church. I don't know if the other religions are like that because I really haven't delved into the other religions. And, you know, I don't know anything about them. But like I said before, I know there's a higher power. And, you know, I truly believe that. But I don't believe in this predestination and this and that. I think you're tossed here like a fucking roll of the dice and to see what happens with you. I don't think that, you know, I don't know if there's anybody knows the beginning or anybody knows the end, because that's what you're fucking burning to your fucking brain. And it's like, you know, they push the Bible down your throat. Well, let's be really fucking honest. The Bible has gone through so many hands since its conception, and even that's murky at best, and they've all changed this shit to suit them and twist their needs and this and that, so you bring it up to the current fucking bullshit that you have, where it's still... Organized religion has been responsible for many of the major, most of the major problems in the world. You know, kill them or convert them. All this other shit. And I even see this shit because my mother goes to church every Sunday. And I used to go take her a couple times. And like, the weird shit is there's a lot of Filipinos up in that church. And the white folk don't like them because they throw change in the basket and shit like that. And you hear these stupid, snide comments. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, these people are third world people. You think maybe they ain't got the fucking money?
But they're the ones that are, you know, pitching in and helping up there and everything else, where the other ones are just sitting back, oh, well, it's our church and they're taking over. What a bunch of fucking hypocritical bullshit. It just boggles my mind. But like I say, that is the shit that fucking shapes you. And then the other shit about them, you know, just them pretty much buying everything that they're fucking told that you do and why you're a wacko and shit, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that. I wonder how many people are going through it today, because, you know, you read all this stuff about, oh, this kid's 5 years old, they put him on Ritalin because he's acting up in class. These fucking teachers have too much fucking power, and they're telling, you know, I know parents right now are smarter than mine were because they don't buy into this fucking bullshit, but, you know, when you get the fucking position where you got to take the kid out of school and shit because he won't take the drugs, what the fuck? There's no choice at all. So, yeah, it was horrible, nasty abuse, and it was just because, you know, like I say, my whole solace when I was growing up was getting away and going to the fucking grindhouse. Finally finding a way to take the bus down to that one down in downtown Orange, the embassy, and then going over to New York and shit, because it basically, I was a misfit and I was proud of it. It drove me over there, and I know a lot of the people that emailed me on MySpace were considered misfits and got shit on by their families and their friends and shit and everything. You get excluded from this, excluded from that, but I can honestly say the happiest part of my life was spent in them fucking rundown shitty fucking movie theaters, because I was in my own little fucking world.
Well, yeah.
My best
yeah.
friends were on the fucking screen, you know? Exactly. And nobody fucking bothered me.
Exactly.
And then, you know, down the road, eventually, you have to putting up with all this fucking bullshit. I went back to high school. I was in senior year, and the only fucking thing I wore was a Levi jacket. I went over to the East Village, and I bought a red fucking patch of a clenched fucking fist, and I sewed it on my jacket, and that's what I wore for a fucking year that I was in that fucking school, and that was my fuck you to them, because I couldn't put a middle finger on it. Everybody thought I was exposing this, exposing that. No, I was wearing a Levi jacket when it fucking meant something, and it was rebelling at best, but I wasn't breaking their fucking shitty dress code, because I never took it off. So I had to keep it on. So I was starting to rebel, and when I got back, I had to learn how to do shit, because I was pretty much a peaceful fucking person. And I said that parking lot incident happened way years after that. But after putting up with this bullshit and getting beat up and all this other fucking crap, I'm not the best fighter in the world, never was, never will be, but I just fucking learned, hurt him, you know? You're going to go down, but fucking hurt him before you go down.
Well,
and
you
then
know,
they'll leave you alone. And eventually they did leave me alone. But.
Pete, you were talking about the Catholics, and I'll tell you something that, you know, is really a shocking story, too. You know, my father was in Catholic school, like you were talking about, and this was, you know, in the 60s, early 60s, or even maybe late 50s, and he was going through a strange situation with the nuns, and he, you know, was rebelling. He had the long hair, and they said, you have to cut your hair, and he basically said a few choice words to him. So that night when he was asleep, they came in with straight razors, and they cut his hair for him. Cutting his head in the process, dude was walking around with scars all over his head because they cut him with these straight razors. These are nuns. And then they wonder why we grow up and love these nunsploitation movies where they trash out the nuns all the time. Well, yeah. You wonder why.
But the sick part was they could do it and get away with it, and nobody stopped them. And it's, you know, all these kids are coming, all these adults are coming out now about being molested by priests and this and that and the other thing. Thank God that didn't happen to me. But you know something? They could have done it and got away with it. I never heard anything about, you know, around the area where I was about it happening, but who the fuck knows, you know? You don't know, and it's like, you know, I don't give a shit how pious and how holy anybody claims to be. Sexual urges are part of human nature, and they have to be released one way or another, and, like, I really got the feeling why these nuns were beating the fuck out of us was repressed sexuality. And you know what I got in real fucking trouble for? And this was almost the end of it. And I was just like up to my joking stage. I made an underwear joke early on, and I almost got fucking, you know, crucified for that. But I did. I fucking said this thing. They were talking about the Mona Lisa, and they said, "Where is it hanging?" Under my breath, I said, "In the ladies' room in Paris, France." And some fucker ratted me out, and I got more fucking shit than you could believe. They were going to actually have me go see the bishop over that I was an unrepentant scumbag and shit, which basically I am, because you know something? This is what formed me. All this fucking abuse is what's formed me, and you know. Maybe I made a statement there, I'll fucking end it when I feel like ending it. I got no fucking problem blowing my fucking head off if I get fucking disgusted enough with shit. And maybe that's a fucking cruel statement to say, but why live around in a fucking miserable, you know, world where All our rights are fucking being eroded. Nobody seems to give a shit. Nobody fights back. I mean, I say this week after week, but not that I want to do it. A lot of people thought that was going to do last week, but no, I'm not going to do that. No.
Right. For several reasons.
I'm going to hang around and fucking annoy you people.
That's right. And if you try, yeah. I'm gonna dig you up, yeah. beat your ass for it, and then put you back. Yeah.
But that was a lot of soul searching on my part. And like a lot of people, like I said, had written in with their stories and shit. So I said, I'm just going to fucking share this because, you know, what more could possibly people think of me anyway? I mean, people think I'm nuts anyway, but that's what fucking formed it. You know, when you look back at the whole fucking history of it, when you're fucking abused from day one and you live in fucking fear, your parents, your teachers, the police, whatever, that's what this government wants everybody to do, I think, sometimes. But that's the way we were raised. You don't question authority. And my parents were raised, don't question authority. So they got to be right and I got to be wrong. And that's what the fucking deal was until finally I fucking fought back. And it took a lot for me to get, you know, to the point where, listen to me, I'm fucking right for a change. But that was years down the road. Other than that, it sucked. And it's like I said, I found my solace in these movies, in these theaters, you know. And that's what got me in trouble to begin with, because I loved this shit, and I just didn't get it. And, you know, oh, there's something wrong with him. He's unstable. Well, a lot of us are unstable. But you know something? It was more fun being into this when you're unstable than now, you know, where everybody's in it and it's a corporate fucking joke, but... I digress, but yeah, when I go off on my tangent and say I paid the price to be me and paid the price to say what I say, that's what I fucking mean. I anybody listening would want to pay that fucking price. I wouldn't want them to either. It sucked.
Well, yeah. You know, the weird thing with me when I was in school, I had a big altercation with my principal because he was always giving me a hard time because, you know, I'm carrying the Fangoria magazine, loving the trashy movies. I was writing some scripts, and I had these story outlines, and... So I sat down and I worked the whole stories out as kind of like a book series called, you know, From the Inside. And I was carrying this around. Well, he pulls me into his office. He looks at this stuff and he calls my dad down there. And then he's walking me back to get my stuff from my locker and then back to his office. And he goes, "You walk in front of me. I don't want you behind me because you'll probably put a knife in my back." He said some horrible things to me. Now, the thing was, I wouldn't have ever done something like that to someone. I just liked trashy horror movies, grindhouse type stuff. And I was hanging out at the Empire Theater watching the crap. The indoor drive-in, we called it. Now, of course, we called it a grindhouse. But back then, we didn't call them that as much as we called them, you know, indoor movie palaces, the indoor drive-ins. And so, you know, I get back in there, and then my dad finally gets there. My dad finds out what he says, and he grabbed that guy by the neck and popped his head up against the window, cracked his window in his office, and said, "Don't you ever talk to my son that way." Because my dad's a crazy Italian, too, you know. And he's like, "You know how it could be." He says, "Don't you ever talk to my son that way. If anyone's going to be like that, it's going to be me. And, you know, my son's not a sadist. He's not a bad person. He likes what he likes. You have no right talking about him like that." But the thing was, they sent me to this, like, thing, this counselor thing at Tri-County Medical Center, this thing where I was supposed to go get evaluated psychologically because I liked horror movies. And they sent me there three times. Finally, the fourth time, the guy didn't even talk. He said, "Todd, this is ridiculous. They keep sending you." He gave me a letter. He sent a letter back. He said, "If you send this kid down here again, I want to see you for evaluation, because I've told you three times this kid is perfectly fine. As a matter of fact, he's probably the smartest kid in your whole class, in your whole graduating class. And you're being ridiculous to him because he has an imagination." And that's what it was all about. Because people back then didn't understand what we were into. It was worse on us in that capacity, because everything's a little more relaxed. But back then, man, you know, you walked in the school with like some gory T-shirt, or you're drawing a picture of the My Bloody Valentine guy, man, you're just suddenly the devil worshiper of the world, and you're gonna.
Yeah, but it wasn't even that when I was a kid, though. If you walk, you know, they didn't even have like promo shit like that. I mean, you can get a T-shirt from Famous Monsters with a Don Post mask, that's maybe drawn on the back or something.
Yep.
But if you wore that under your fucking shirt, you were screwed. They'd rip it off you.
Well, they,
like I said,
yeah.
they had this one fucking kid. I'll never forget this kid's first name was Curtis. I forget his last name, but they fucking tied this kid to his fucking desk. That's what scumbags they were, because they couldn't control him. They fucking beat him and tied him to his desk. So yeah, it's wonderful that, you know, you had to go through that shit. But like I said, I paved the fucking way. It looks like, because, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not saying it, maybe if this didn't happen, because it probably happened. It happened to a lot of other fucking people. What am I saying?
It did.
You know, a lot of people paid the fucking price. Yeah. And that's why everybody goes, "Oh, well, you know, they go this poo-poo about, the, you know, supposedly the old guys with the grindhouse and shit." Hey, you know something? Fuck you. I don't think you'd want to go through it. You know something?
And I don't think people realize what teachers used to do. I mean, like, nowadays they can't even do anything or else they're, you know, in court. But back then, man, this my friend Teddy was wearing a Oliver Reed Curse of the Werewolf shirt. You were mentioned in Famous Monsters, and he ordered it out of there. Tore it off of him, set that sucker on fire in the trash can. They used to take our magazines away and our comic books, rip them in half in front of us. They used to smack us with
things. Oh, yeah, they fucking blew. They sucked. But, you know, like I said, they could do it. Nobody could stop them. It was unbelievable.
I was paddled with a paddle with holes drilled in it, and I finally took it away from the teacher and smacked him back with it after I got old enough to do it.
Oh, I got real rebellious toward the end, though.
Oh, yeah. You got to.
But here's the thing, and this is the proof is in the pudding. I barely graduated high school. And I worked as a meat cutter for the A&P for like a year and a half till I found out how much that politics sucks over there. So this girl talked me into going back to college, and the first semester I had a 3.67 average. So who was fucking kidding who?
Yeah.
You know? I just needed to apply myself without the fucking bullshit and aggravation.
Well, that's the thing. You're so busy fighting politics, and you're fighting...
Fighting people, man. That's why my body's fucking killing me. I hate that shit.
It sucked. Yeah. I mean, we had the cliques, and you know that it was such a mess to be a part of. And you know as well as I do, you're a tall guy, and you're not into basketball. You catch hell from everybody.
Oh, yeah, I got that, too. Fuck sports. I hate that shit.
Man, every day someone was blasting me for that. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do it, man. I want to do my own thing. It's okay. I liked baseball. I said, hey, I'll play baseball for you. No, we want you to play. Why don't you play basketball? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, whatever, man. The thing is, if that's not what you want to do, that's fine. You shouldn't, you know, persecute someone. Shouldn't kick them when they're down. Let people be who they are, man. That's what makes the world go round.
Yeah, no, we played football. They wouldn't even fucking back us up. We were in college. But then again, you know, what the fuck? There was that type of school, so... We started our own team. We played drunk and stoned every Sunday. We didn't shit. We never won a game. We come home like torn apart and didn't feel a fucking thing because we went down there drunk and stoned. Stayed drunk and stoned for the whole game. Yeah. We were playing against people that actually knew what they were fucking doing. They killed us.
That was hilarious. Great. Yeah. That is hilarious.
It was like 3 days to be able to walk again after summer now.
You know what? If you wrote a script about that, it'd probably be a big hit with the movies like The Hangover. They're bitching because they're not getting an Oscar. You know, make a script for that. We'll be rich.
Oh, yeah, but it's true. That's what we used to do. Because, it was me and a bunch of potheads and a bunch of guys just came back from Nam. So, you know, we all had this thing in common. We were all a bunch of weed heads. So, we started doing this thing. Then we started challenging local teams and getting killed, you know. It's that simple.
What's cool about you, Pete, is because...
With stupidity.
You're like mm-hmm. Shrek, man. You're like an onion. You have lots of layers. And the more we get to know you, the more we learn about you. And it's really cool. It's a fascinating thing, man, because you're such a good-hearted person, man, and you've been through so much crap. It's amazing that you've turned out as good as you have.
My name is Crime, and crime doesn't pay. I can't speak of crime. anyway, we had talked about this ordained minister thing, and I did actually do this, and when I originally conceived doing it, I figured it was another fucking joke to add to my act and stuff, but then another thing I just sat back and thought about, and I says, well, you know, if this is giving me the right to do a couple of things, why not do something fucking positive with it? And like I said, I hate organized religion, so why don't I start a disorganized religion? And talking to a couple people, I'm going to call this the Church of the Unforgiven, because I'll forgive people who can't get forgiven. Because to me, there's only a couple really bad fucking things in this world. Number one, fuck with a child and you should die a horrible fucking death.
Oh, yeah.
You should have acid poured on your genitals and fucking army ants poured in your eye sockets. And that's just for fucking openers, you know.
That's right.
When we turn you over, we get more creative, you know. Something involving a funnel and barbed wire fucking Jackson balls. But, okay, I digress. But, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, another thing that's, you know, a lot of people can't get married. You know, they fucking shot the gay marriage thing down. I'll fucking marry you. If you're gay, you can be lesbian, you can be transsexual, you can be just plain out-and-out fucking weird. As long as you're a good fucking person, I'll perform the fucking ceremony. I don't even want a fucking donation. If I got to drive somewhere, just pay for my gas. But, you know, I'm not kind of a fucking reverend, you know?
It's really weird, though. It's no fair, because you got it a lot easier than I did. I had to take a whole course. I did this whole thing. I did this, like, crazy course. It took me 6 days, and then I did the whole test. And the test took me, like, forever to do, 48,000 years. And what do? You just get it.
I just fucking gave him $39.95, and I was in the door. And I got a laminated card, and I got certificates, and I'm fucking legal, Jack. So...
That's sweet.
And you know something? Like I said, I believe in a higher power, but I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe you got a beast. The only reason they want you to go to church every Sunday is because you're donating money to them, so basically you're paying an entrance fee to save your soul.
Well, that, and you know? If you're there every Sunday, it's easier to corrupt your mind and bend you to their will, and pretty soon you're a pod person.
I might not bend anybody to my fucking will, because, you know, you can interpret things any way you want. Like, okay, they say the world was created in 7 days. I'll buy that, but then what was 7 days to a higher power? It could have been a millennium, you know?
True.
So what the fuck? I can buy that. I can buy a evolve from the apes, because some of us are still fucking gorillas, you know?
That's one of the things that always got me, though. If we evolved from, how could the species still be there? That always kind of bothered me, because I'm like, when you evolve from something, then that original thing doesn't exist anymore. Like,
well, maybe those... Okay, we'll go with a semi-scientific, you know, science fiction theory. Maybe those are the ones that didn't make it. Those are the rejects. In other words, okay, just take a gorilla. Maybe a gorilla was step one that didn't work. Okay, so we bypass the gorilla and try something else. Step two, which was a chimpanzee, which didn't work, but they're here, so leave them the fuck alone. And step three might have been an orangutan. Then step four might have been a monkey. So who the fuck knows? It just was probably better just to leave them here. You know?
Hey, we forgot we're supposed to dedicate this entire show to the indigenous people of Independence, Missouri, and the Smackahoe Nation.
Yeah, okay. You can do that. Bless you, my son. The whole state is sinned. So that's where the flood's going to hit next. You better get the fuck out of it.
It already did. It was a flood of porn that you sent in here.
Porn is okay in my religion because it's not hurting anybody and it's employing people.
Okay, there you go. I like that idea.
Nobody is holding a gun to anyone's head who does fucking porn. It's keeping people gainfully employed, and it's better than them selling drugs or selling... Well, they are selling their bodies, so what the fuck? I got no problem with prostitution either. You do what you have to do as long as you're not hurting anybody in the fucking process.
What are you talking about? You couldn't have a problem with prostitution. You wouldn't even have kids.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me of that. She's on next, by the way, yeah. Serena.
She's on the Dark Girls Pleasure Chest coming out.
Yeah, actually... I don't know, but I know what happened to my fucking money now. She's going to Japan next week.
Oh, I know. I told her, man, that's ridiculous. Put me in a suitcase or something.
She's going to Japan. I can't even pay my fucking weed bill, and she's going to Japan. I'm like, where the fuck's my money?
Well, now you know.
They're turning shit off as we speak.
As long as they don't turn off your electricity, then we're all through.
Well, then we're fucked, and the show's over. Goodbye, Rerun City.
I'll be plugging in something.
Put on the old fucking clips for me from the old Night Watch show when I was fucking tame and civil with people, you know?
Wow, I know. You know, I was listening to the very first show you ever did because I'm kind of pulling together some stuff. I'm going to do some special kind of retro stuff toward probably in the summertime.
Greatest hits.
It is. It's kind of like a greatest hits thing I'm doing for a couple of weeks in the summer. And one of the things that really blew my mind was hearing you back on that first show. And, man, what a long way we've come, man. Not just you doing your own show and everything else, but us. As, you know, we've gotten so much closer. And it's but you could tell on that first show that there was a friendship that was formed that night. It was really cool.
Yeah, and your finger was one millimeter above the 7 second delay thing.
No, I was like, oh lordy, let's do it. I had total faith in you. I knew you could do it. You're a consummate professional.
No, you didn't. You were shitting bricks. I know that.
I think Juke might have been.
Everybody. Who the fuck was I on? Somebody showed it ain't around anymore. It was like they were terrified of me. I said, this ain't gonna work. Why don't we just fucking call it a night?
Yeah, that's funny.
Is it like this joint?
I remember that. Yeah, they're not around anymore, but I remember you did another show right after that. Like, some people heard you on mine, called you, and then you were like, you told me, you said, man, that was no fun at all.
People kept trying to hijack me, and it was like these two chicks that were going, hee-hee-hee, all night. I'm like, give me a fucking break. I did that from when I was working, because it was so fucking dead in that place. I actually did it from there.
Well, that's awesome.
When I did your shit, I used to give an excuse to get the fuck out, so I'd go home and do it uninterrupted.
That is
awesome.
These
other two idiots, I'm sitting there I'm fucking running a register and selling porn and doing a radio show. That was pretty fucking funny.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, we got to address something else here too. This whole Fang, I don't know if anybody follows Fangoria magazine or the whole situation that was brewing over there, but obviously they've been hitting the wall for quite some time, for lack of better words. And honestly, that magazine was really good when it came out, because it had some really good writers and some really great people in the genre. Now, I can't say the same. Let me take another hit.
While you're doing that, I have to say that there's still some things about the magazine. It's nostalgic for me. I still think it's very well laid out. I think the people who put the magazine together work very hard, and I think some of the people that write for the magazine are creative as hell, and I really like certain things about it still, but I do agree that somewhere along the line it became a big, almost like a big giant press release.
Press book, that's all it is.
Yeah, for the majors.
Well, obviously there's been problems and there's been shit going on, and like they can't run a convention to save their lives out here. But I hear all the wonderful shit they do out in California and stuff. But you know, you don't hear it around here, so that's telling me something too. Plus, at being one of the shows and, you know, getting that whole fucking beat down and shit like that, and then getting told after the next show I can't get comped in, and stuff didn't sit well with me. But you know something? I don't give a fuck, because the bottom line is, I think it's outlived its usefulness, unfortunately. And Tony Timpone is supposedly stepping down in April. And somebody named Chris Alexander, I think his name is, who was at Rue Morgue, is going to take over the editor thing. And I actually wish him well, but I also have another issue with both Fango and Rue Morgue of your ridiculously fucking high cover price. I mean, Shock Cinema, which is a relevant magazine, Horror Hound, which is a relevant magazine, are all way under $10. I think $5.95 and $6.95, whatever, and don't understand it. And you know something? If Mike Weldon from Psychotronic Video is listening to this show, Mike, if you ever put that magazine together, dude, I'll work for you for fucking nothing, just out of the love of what you guys used to do. Your magazine was one of the best, you know, and it's just a shame that, you know, probably due to these scumbag distributors that you went under too, and, you know, Charles Baum with the Deep Red, you know, these were the magazines that counted. So, you know something, a lot of people said, who gives a shit, and I got to echo that, really, who gives a shit at this point, because the magazine's irrelevant, and, you know, everybody's got to have this up-to-the-minute internet news, you know, the latest breaking news, this and that. I got news for you in 2020 and 2025. You know what's going to happen? They're going to remake The Godfather, and it's going to be an all-black cast. So dig it, brothers, you know? You heard it here.
He's such a nut. I got to tell you, though, it is true. Some of these prices on these magazines, man, they're crazy. But, like, I picked up Rue Morgue, the new one. I got it today, and it was $6.95. So that's good. I mean, I don't know if that's a percentage off or whatever.
Number one, I'm not joining anybody's fucking club, especially a bookstore, where it's going to cost me $35 to join the club, and I get 10% off everything, and I might buy 6 books a fucking year.
That's right,
so
yeah.
Fucking blow me on that deal. And what the hell was the other thing?
Oh, I got to tell you something, too, while we're at it. Michael Weldon, you mentioned, has a show, a podcast for Psychotronic, and I've contacted him. I'm trying to get him to come on Jackalope with us.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Won't that be nice?
Yeah. I'd love to see that magazine come back out, because that magazine was so relevant and so pertinent, and still would be, because, you know, like we said, unfortunately, you found out a lot of people passed away through that magazine, but at least you found out what happened to them.
Well, yeah, and plus half the movies you and I love, hell, they guided us there, you know?
I know, it was great, and he got interviews that, like, you know, we get some cool people, but he was one of the first guys to get Sid, you know, he had L.Q. Jones, the back issues are priceless, I have them all.
Oh,
you
me
know,
too.
It's
me
just
too.
Great stuff.
It's like
that's where I get
these
people. Oh, you know, I pull everything off the internet. No, I sit there and I read the shit, because there's going to be shit in here that you're not going to fucking find on the internet, because no one interview is the same with a lot of people, you know?
Well, and plus the internet has made everything too. You're not going to find a lot of these people that were in Psychotronic, and Psychotronic is not reprinted on the internet. So the only way to find it is to hold that magazine in your hand, get the ink on your fingers, and enjoy it.
Yeah. I can't read. Fucking sit on here and read this shit all fucking night. Fuck it. You know, I want to lay in my
shirt, man.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the funny part was I picked up a copy of Hustler. Not that I bought it, because when I saw the $11.95 cover price, I'm like, ew. You know, fuck that. But you know,
I was gonna say, I heard you could get a hooker over on 42nd Street for that price nowadays.
Pussy's so expensive, I can't afford it. not that I ever could. It's always been an extravagance.
$11.95 for a magazine. Geez, they'd better open it up the pages for me while I'm looking at it. Geez.
They just might do that. I don't know. I was going over somebody's house and I wanted to find the thing in my car because I was sort of embarrassed because I was cutting deals and shit. But what the fuck, you know? I should have bought it just to see where it's at. Maybe I should just. I could call Larry and ask him for a job. Maybe I could push him around in his wheelchair. I don't know. Fuck, I've come to that.
That's awesome.
It just comes down to that shit.
Well, and you know, we are moving forward with our movie. Anyone that doesn't know, that hasn't seen our stuff, the Church Camp Massacre is moving forward. It's a reality. It really is happening. It really is going to be a movie. I was planning on doing another movie also, so now I'm doing two movies, hopefully this summer and late fall. But the first one I'm going to do is the Church Camp Massacre with yours truly, Pete, right here, is going to be in the movie.
Yeah, we'll have some other people, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, like I say, I'm dead serious about this whole, you know, Church of the Unforgiven thing. Because if people need help, I mean, if they think, you know, I'd love to do something, you know, cool, like, you know, a soup kitchen or some shit like that, because, you know, you got to give back sometimes, and everybody's fucking hurt now, and it's ridiculous, and then everybody's pulling against each other, too, and it's another fucking thing, so, you know, oh, yeah, we got a wonderful economy, now we're probably 20% unemployed and don't even know it, because the people whose benefits run out, nobody knows what happens to them, they don't count no more, so. Yeah,
they drop out.
It's fucking scary times, and, like, I'm just happy I got a roof over my head at this point, but then again, that's up for grabs sometimes. That was part of the bone of contention in last week's blogging, where that may end up, so you never know. When you're fucked, and unfortunately, that seems to be the name of the game today.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah. We have anything more uplifting to talk about? I don't want to be depressing all night.
Hey, man, we're not depressing now. We're okay. Okay. We're past that point.
Okay. Past the point of being depressing. Now that's we're morose. Now we hit the morose stage of the show. Oh, now I just thought of another fucking childhood memory I could share involving a curling iron.
Jesus. Well, I do want people to know that Basement Jack, we've talked about on the show several times, is out on DVD. I found a copy at FYE. It's $14. It's well worth it. It's a great movie. I think everyone should rush out and get that for sure, because Lynn Lowry's in it, and I know a lot of our friends out there that were at Cinema Wasteland met Lynn. She's a very nice lady. She's really good in the movie. I have to agree with you, Pete. She is the mother of the year, for lack of better
term. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Wow, my God, man. She's something else. She did a fantastic
job. Jack probably
went
to Catholic school, too.
He probably did. And the problem with, like I said, I was talking to Pete about this off the air. The movie is, like, amazing. The only thing is the police procedural things that they put in these movies. The reason why it worked so well in Halloween was because the police really didn't do a whole lot. They just hooked up with Donald Pleasance, and he kind of chewed the scenery and took over every scene that he was in with the police. So it worked in that movie just because they were very short and few and far between. They were smart. They stayed with Michael in the shadows, and they stayed with the girls. That's what we wanted to know about. And that's kind of what's going on here with Basement Jack. It has got a little bit of police stuff. I didn't like those scenes very much, but the rest of the movie, I'm talking like 87% of the movie is just in your face and suspenseful and really well made. I mean, the crane shots, everything about the movie is incredibly well made. It made me angry as I watched it that I couldn't watch it on the big screen, but Tyler Perry's got 15 movies out this year. It just really annoyed me.
Yeah, that was like they ran up at Wasteland. They premiered it up there on, you know, what passes for the big screen up there, because they got the screening rooms and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, I was really impressed by it. I put it over a couple times on the air. I wrote up a review for Scars on the website. It's probably still up there. And, you know, it was a good fucking movie. You don't see them like that anymore. It's just all this fucking garbage that comes out.
It was good. I was really surprised about that. It was so good that I was really... Wow, man, what a great movie with such a small budget. It shows you what can be done with, you know, people really trying, really caring. Alan Howarth did the music, who a lot of people know also did a lot of music with John Carpenter. And you can tell. It's got that feel to it. It's like you said. Yeah. It's the movie that Rob Zombie wishes he could have made.
Yeah. I think I said that.
You did.
Oh, you're quoting me now. Holy shit. I can't even fucking remember what I'm saying half the time. God damn.
It's a good thing I did. Do you know what's funny? We thought we were going to see that movie. Henry and a couple of us went down there looking for you, and we ended up going into the screening of this other movie. And I tell you what, that other movie was like, we didn't know what the hell we were watching. Some guy, it was, I got to tell people, look, the number one rule, I don't care if you're shooting with a dang Fisher-Price camera, don't bore an audience, and don't sit there and shake the camera so bad you can't tell what's going on, and don't leave it on one guy while he's taking a crap in a bathroom, because I got up and left, and so did everybody else.
No, not at all.
I don't know what the hell that movie was, but it was hideous.
Oh, Todd and I had just come up with something, because we actually, like he said, we did a pre-show thing because somebody didn't show up or something. I don't know what the deal was with that, but he said something about, why don't I pull the top 100 movies I'd want if that was all I could watch for the rest of my life? So, this may take a little while, because I got a lot of pile of shit to go through. So, top 100, that's going to be, okay, we will see. It's going to be interesting. But when we do that, we're going to do them in segments of 5 per show, just to keep, you know, I think one show, if I just rattle off the other, in top number 87, you know, fuck that, that's ridiculous. But we'll do like 5 a show, and they're not going to be in any order of importance, because that would be redundant, because, you know, I don't know, I'm not that way, huh?
Well, don't be kidding people. You're not that organized. Don't even kid. We know. Don't kid.
I know I'm not that organized. Well, you're right. You're fucking right. I'm looking at my desk, and it's like, you know something? I see where my Hunter S. Thompson influence comes in, because I got an empty fucking whiskey bottle. I got an ashtray full of roaches. I got all these vitamin supplements hanging around. I got a switchblade, a hunting knife, a camera,
pile of DVDs, the Rare Flicks card, where Frank Henenlotter will be at Rare Flicks again. Let's just say it again, Frank Henenlotter at Rare Flicks.
You know, I'm about ready to like bribe you into going down there and get me an autograph, man. I'm serious.
I can probably get you an autograph. What do you want me to get you an autograph? Just a piece of paper or something?
Man, anything. You grab another copy of something. Hell, grab a newer copy of Brain Damage and get him to autograph it. I'll pay you back.
Well, I don't know. He may do it for me for nothing. You never know. Then I should be. If he's listening, oh, well, he fucking assumes that. Fuck another $100.
Dirty bastard.
I'm Patrick Stewart. My God, I get $100 to take a picture with you and I'll read the sign, and then I get to fuck you in the ass for another $100. Because I'm on Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever.
Hey, I like Patrick Stewart.
I slipped. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's Star Wars.
It's Star Trek.
Star Trek. I can rip Star Trek, but I can't rip Star Wars.
Don't rip either one of them. I like them both, man. Come on.
Come on.
I'm one of those rare people that, like, a lot of them fight each other all the time. It's pretty bad. I got a battle inside myself. The Star Wars side is beating up the Star Trek side.
No, that's why I can't, you know, some of these people. I mean, I did a Trekkie once, I must admit. It was interesting, but, you know.
Live
she kept yelling, beam me up, literally, you know.
Oh,
she let me pet her tribble, though.
You know? That's good. See, you had a trouble with tribbles.
I played with her tribble, you know.
Made her tribble purr.
A little pink mouth, you know. What the hell? It was all furry and shit. Didn't bite.
Oh, you Lord. Know?
Actually, it sucked my thumb for a while.
Yeah. Whoa.
Basically, right? Yeah.
Suddenly, the show will never return from the toilet.
Go where no man has gone before. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it didn't take long, did it, you know?
Didn't. Nope.
You said you like to end things on an up note because we had a little depression thing there. But I'm not sorry I did that. I think, you know, like I said, things certain things shape us, you know. And, you know, like I said, the church is legit. I'm fucking serious about this. Somebody needs to get married, I'll marry you. Well, I'll perform the ceremony. I won't actually physically marry you. Though that, you know, we could arrange that too if you want to, you know, pay a little extra. But what the fuck?
Well, the thing with you is, man, that's what I love about it is when people tune in to hear The Grindhouse with 42nd Street Pete, they get the real you, man. They get the deal. And if they can't handle that, well, go listen to someone who sucks.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. I may suck, but I don't swallow.
Don't.
You know? Oh. Mm. Self-deprecating at best. Oh. You know, but I can do that because some people are just like, you know, make assumptions and shit. But you know, something, assume what you want. I know what I fucking am. You know, I don't know what anybody else is.
We know.
Yeah. I'm a mutant. We're all mutants. You know, it's the whole thing. Like I said, I make Hunter S. Thompson references and shit because he was a heavy influence on my writing. So was William W. Johnstone. So was Frank Zappa as far as other philosophies and shit. So, yeah, it was like a lot of... I gravitated toward the weird because those were my fucking people. And my parishioners, for lack of better words, or my followers, will be the weird also. So
that works.
And I welcome the weird because I'm weird myself, you know, and we should all be weird together.
That's right.
Fuck what society thinks. We don't give a shit. I mean, look at Wasteland. If they wanted to kill all the weird people in a certain area, about, a 1,000-mile radius, all they'd have to do was drop a fucking shock and awe bomb on Cinema Wasteland, and they'd get us all.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But we would probably... Awesome. One of us would probably survive and multiply. Just like the films we love, a hand would come out of the rubble. Probably mine, but... Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, you know, it has been a hell of a show this week, man. What an adventure.
Yeah, it's always, it just takes that weird U-turn. Why? Are we almost out of time? I haven't been paying attention.
We are. We got it. We got a little, just a little bit left, man. It's almost that time to wrap up.
How much?
About 2 minutes.
Wow. Oh, shout out to Amy Lee. She sent me some kind of ad for Viagra or something like that. I don't know why she did that, but, you know, we're going to have her back too. I'm working on something. Working on a few things.
She's cool, man. I can't wait to have her back on. Well, we got some really neat things in the works with her. Yeah, we got. So you were telling me about some of those ideas, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I talked to somebody, so it's just a question of getting all the ducks in a row. Because one thing that was going to happen isn't going to happen, so I got to adjust it accordingly. But I don't know. So whatever the fuck, I'll get something going.
You always do.
Yeah.
And it's always, always expect the unexpected, just like everything I say with the network, with my show, and now with yours. Always expect the unexpected.
Jeez. Yeah. The paranormal versus the abnormal, right here on Jackalope105FM.com.
That's awesome.
And Don't forget, stay tuned for the Dark Girls Pleasure Chest featuring Marsha and my illegitimate daughter, Serena.
And as many dildos as I can cram in the hour.
I don't know about dildos. I don't know. Is this live tonight with them?
I don't know. Yeah. 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 No,
oh, it is no, live. Oh, yeah, it is live. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is live. Shit, I forgot about that.
That's scary.
That's why she's doing this. She's trying to cage more money so she can go to Japan.
That's it.
Yeah. How much could it cost to go to Japan? I have no idea.
Well, apparently it costs quite a bit since you're broke.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't even know how much money was in the draw. I never counted it.
Well, that's your fault, because now it's all gone.
Yeah, I got to watch it when if I do start this church, which actually it would be nice if I could find a building to operate out of and do some, I do some cool shit, you know, do get back or something like that. You know, I could do that, soup kitchens and shit. I like to cook. I'm a good cook. I could feed the hungry.
You sure could, and your daughter could feed the hungry, too, in a whole different way.
I know, yeah, I could, you know, well, you know, they'd probably want a piece of the action, too, but, you know, it's all on.
Yeah, you'd go to your collection plate, it'd be completely empty. You'd say, what, no one gave tonight? And they'd say, oh, they gave plenty, in more ways than one, Dad.
They'd invest, yeah, okay, yeah, well, I don't know if we want to pursue that angle, and I'm trying to be semi-legitimate here anyway, so.
That's right.
But I got the certificates, I got the ID card, so I am legit. Yeah. I should get a clergy license plate so I could park in weird places at the malls and really piss fucking people off. Can you imagine that?
I haven't even thought of that. I need to do that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Let's get clergy plates.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
Well, we've got to get some kind of robes for October. Remember that, you know, some kind of vestments and shit. Maybe some Pope hats. Yeah.
Dude, we'll do it. I'm for real. I can't wait.
Yep.
It's going to be Pete and I. We're going to be in full form. Let me tell you.
Yes. Well, good night, all that tuned in. Thanks for listening to my ramblings, and we'll have some more crazy shit going on next week. Maybe we'll have, you know, some of the top 100. I don't know. We'll do something movie related next week. How's that for a fucking change? This is 42nd Street Pete. Stay sick, because now you know I am. Good night.
If you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thanks.
Forty-second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Oh, wah-ah-ah-ah. Come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the dickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ.
Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.